This is CBS Eye on the World, the King Charles Report, special edition with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Gregory has a witticism in his most recent analysis of monarchy. King Farouk was asked about monarchy, and he predicted at some time in the future there'd only be five monarchies. That would be the King of Hearts, the King of Spades, King of Diamonds, the King of Clubs, and Windsor. Well, he was wrong, Gregory, but Windsor put on a great demonstration of the genius of monarchy in these last days. Were they successful?
I believe that King Charles was successful in relaunching the monarchy into the modern world. I don't think he was as successful as he would have liked to have been. I think largely because the ideology behind his plan for the new monarchy was not widely understood, and he was doing it more or less leading this by himself and on the fly. He was not able, I think, to engender sufficient enthusiasm for the concept of constitutional monarchy among the Commonwealth. I think he did so dramatically in the four areas that make up the United Kingdom itself, England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. But what we saw was that this time they didn't have the Prime Minister of Canada attending the coronation. Yes, we had the Prime Minister of Australia and the Governor General of Australia, which was very important. But the reality is that the new monarchy has not been explained sufficiently. He wanted, I think, to modernize it by making it more appealing to young people, and that certainly had a partial success with the post-coronation parties and with the slimmed-down coronation ceremony, which was not as religious as in previous years. But essentially, he's now got to take his position as having successfully bedded down the new reign, and make it much more viable for the Commonwealth. He's, by separate acclaim, the head of the Commonwealth, the old British Empire. But that's not something which he can take for granted, and not all of the members of the Commonwealth are constitutional monarchies. A lot of them are republics. Some of them are proposing to become republics, like Jamaica, and the prime ministers of New Zealand and Australia are talking about making their countries republics or trying to get a referenda through which would enable them to do that. But that's a political objective which is not necessarily shared by the public at large. And King Charles will have to do something to bolster the popularity of the crown and to demonstrate why the crown is essential to stability and why the politicization of the role of head of state detracts from the long-term ideals and ethics and investment worthiness of their countries. And that's something which can be done, but there have been no studies on it. There's been no debate about it. What is taken for granted in Britain as well as in the United States, that constitutional monarchies are an old-fashioned form of government. But in fact, if you look at history, going back to the earliest recorded histories, republics and monarchies alike existed side by side in the past. And what we tended to see was that monarchies, particularly as they became constitutional monarchies, presided over periods of stability, which enabled greater development of wealth and the passage of property and investment down between the different reigns of monarchs as they went intergenerationally. So really, this argument has to take place. King Charles is going to have to somehow support it and make it clear that the position of the crown in Britain cannot be eroded by the republican tendencies of elected politicians who do not want to answer to anybody. And they use the argument that they need, the public should have a say in who is the head of state. Well, one of the things about monarchies, and particularly constitutional monarchies, is that the monarchs have to reaffirm their social contract with the public every single day, because they don't have electoral terms. They can be removed at the whim of an angry mob. So there's always this care from the crown of most of the existing monarchies to ensure that the crown protects the constitutional rights of the citizens. And who do they have to protect it from? They have to protect it from elected politicians. So that's the general thesis, that that the crown acts as the not only the defender of people's ability to practice whatever faith they wish, but also to protect their individual liberties from the predations of elected governments.
That's what they mean by the working royals. They're working at maintaining that bond with the people. Do you believe that the coronation was successful in introducing this? It's not quite spiritual. It's something magical of a bond between the king and the people. Was that successful? We have about a minute, less than a minute.
Yes, I mean, the bond between the crown and the people has always been mystical, and intentionally so, and it's been spiritual as well as mystical. In the case of the British, it's evolved from being a Catholic crown to an Anglican crown, but one which has basically embraced the rights of all faiths, as we saw in the coronation. So, yes, the mysticism is critical,
right?
And that's why you don't want to make the king too human.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, The King Charles Report. We'll follow the adventures of King Charles III, who has his son by his side and his grandson by his side. It's a wonderful picture of three generations of three kings looking to the future.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.